Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're quickly turning the page here. You know, we're turning the page, though. We're quickly turning that page.
New opportunity here. Turn the page.
Obviously, that game's done. You really have to turn the page quickly.
And then we'll quickly turn the page. We're going to be good turning the page, but...
There I go.
Ordinarily, we turn the page and get you ready for the next game on Wednesdays. It's a shorter week this week, and it's the damn playoffs. So we decided that we would work our way through what happened with the Bears and the Lions, and then we would turn the page. If you're listening to this segment, you're like, guys, I'm not used to this. What is this thing that you're doing? What we like to do is we want to start getting you ready for the game that is in front of you. We will turn the page from the game that you just saw and really drill down on the game that's coming up. And the game that's coming up couldn't be bigger. It is the biggest meeting between the Bears and the Packers in the last 15 years.
Could be.
It is that. It's the playoffs. It's wild card weekend. It's the game that every network wanted and fought for. And Prime ended up getting that game, which will be played at Soldier Field Saturday night, Bears versus Packers.
Saturday night's all right for fighting. Third time they ever will have met in the postseason. The Bears are 96-108-6 all time against Green Bay, 53-54-2 at home, so they can even it up. How about this? Last 15 meetings at Soldier Field, Green Bay is 13-2 against the Bears. But as we look at these teams against each other, the Bears are the better offense by every measurable team stat. Take that in. Except for third down percentage. Green Bay gets third downs done. And Jordan Love is better in completion percentage than Caleb, and therefore a better quarterback rating. But Caleb has more yards and touchdowns. They are the better offense by all the measurable team stats. On defense, the Packers are the better defense by every measurable team stat, except interceptions and fumble recoveries. The Bears are number one in takeaways. The Packers are 26th. The Bears are 2-6 in games in which they have gotten 1 or 0 takeaways. They're 9-0 when they've recorded 2 or more. Goodness. The Packers made 23 roster moves last week, Lawrence. 23! They rested everyone on that defense after Derrick Henry beat them up the week before. They rested the offense, too. And they are a confusing bunch because they've been a lot worse since Micah Parsons got hurt. They're running more movement and stunts and games up front without Micah Parsons. They need to because their other supposedly great pass rusher, Rashawn Gary... No sacks since week 9. Nine different Packers have at least half a sack, which is the minimum for sacks in my mind. Nine different Packers have at least half a sack since week 9. Rashawn Gary's making $24 million.
People thought that he would be a lot better, and when he and Micah were together, they were doing good work. It's part of the reason that the Packers' defensive numbers are a little bit inflated, because Micah Parsons was there for a very long time this season, and then the last four games, you've had no Micah Parsons, and that has been problematic for the Packers. They have struggled to stop the run as of late.
They also struggled because one of their safeties was out. Some other people were out. Devontae Wyatt has been out. And we'll see as their injury report gets updated throughout the week exactly who is going to be ready. Matt LaFleur talked about the Bears, Packers, and this game for the first time they'll meet in the playoffs since 2010. It's the third matchup in just 6 weeks.
Is it just a football game at the end of the day? I mean, you don't have to treat it any differently. Obviously, the stakes are higher and all, but...
Absolutely. I mean, it's the same thing our guys have been doing all season long. It's a tough opponent on the road, a division rival. There's obviously going to be a lot of excitement, in not only, I mean, everywhere about this game. So, you know, we just got to go play our type of game.
You've played them a number of times, but can you appreciate how historic this matchup is in the postseason against the Bears, how rare it is for you guys to play them?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool deal. I think any time you're talking about division rivals and you're in the playoffs with a lot at stake, I think it's, it just heightens it a little bit.
What's your message to your pass rush guys on trying to get Caleb on the ground? You've had pressure, but you haven't been able to get him on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, he's dynamic. He is dynamic back there, and his ability to make people miss, get out of the pocket, make throws from in the pocket. I think he's playing really, really good football right now. He definitely has progressed over the course of the season. I think he's some of those throws he's made are, you know, there's not many that can make those.
It's interesting the choice that Matt LaFleur made to kind of sit his starters. This has been a MASH unit. They have been hurt. They have been kind of limping to the finish of the regular season. And he was saying how, had because Jordan Love dressed last week, and he was saying how if Tune got hurt, their plan was that Jordan Love was just going to come in and hand the ball off.
Oh, my God.
That they were not going to expose him at all.
Remember, they pulled Love and Jacobs at the in the last week of last year, and then those guys came out flat against Philly in the first round of the playoffs. So this is tricky stuff. Interesting choices by Matt LaFleur. The Bears' defense is way better at home, especially the pass defense. How about this? The passer rating at home against the Bears, 77.1, as opposed to 105.6 on the road. They have 25 sacks at home against just 10 on the road. So fascinating. Completion percentage lower and much, much more. Here's Kevin Byard on the Bears' performance this past Sunday and how his previous playoff experience actually shapes his outlook for this year's team.
It was similar after obviously coming down from the loss, watching the film a few times. Obviously, a lot of things that we didn't do well. I don't think we covered well enough on the back end with obviously all the speed that they had out there on the field. But, you know, yards are one thing, but obviously points is the main thing. And I think we did a good job of stopping that team in the red zone. I think similar kind of what we did against Green Bay, which they was able to draw the ball, but they was 0-for-5 in the red zone. I think this past game they were 1-for-4, 1-for-5, something like that. Gave us a chance to win the game, but, you know, we obviously want to be better than that from the 20 to the other 20 or whatever. But gave us a chance to win the game. It just didn't work out that way this time.
What's the secret to a good red zone defense?
I think, you know, when obviously the field is more condensed, I think the reaction and just being able to see things has to be a lot faster. You have to trigger faster. And then at that point, obviously having better run defense down there, obviously not letting them run in there. But for quarterbacks, like I said, there's not a lot of space. There's more bodies in there. So I just think being able to react and all those type of things has to be a little bit more accelerated. But your eyes as a defensive back have to be really on point because a lot of times teams are scheming up different things, whether if it's gadgets, quick runs, quick throws to the flats and things like that. So you have to be really key on your reaction.
Having a 7-foot-tall middle linebacker help you?
Oh, for sure. You know, anything that we can use definitely it helps. But like I said, I just think that understanding what teams like to do down there and being able to react and have your eyes right.
And you've been part of a 9-7 team that went to the conference championship game. You've been part of a 1 seed that lost in the first round. How do you process that whole dynamic of what this is?
Yeah, I mean, I actually haven't won a playoff game since then. You know what I mean? So I understand how special these opportunities are, and they don't come around that often. I know just even this 2019 team, like they were saying even back then, like we were too early, like as far as like we had snuck into the playoffs and they're not going to do anything. You know what I mean? Like they don't have all the pieces and we went on the run and obviously we're a game short. We're going to the Super Bowl. So I've been hearing the same noise about this team this year as well. So I just think for us all together, just understanding how special this group is and going out there and just playing for each other. You know what I mean? It's do or die at this point. So like I said, I'm just extremely excited. Motivated, my energy level is high. It's going to be high for the rest of the week because, like I said, I mean, I'm blessed to be able to be back in the playoffs with this group, with this organization. So it's going to be fun.
Kevin Byard on what it is to be in the playoffs with the Bears and the Packers.
I like what he said too about people thinking, oh, well, you know, a team is a year early, and then they run all the way to the Super Bowl and. In a year that's been so strange, you know, why not the Bears,
why
right?
Why not?
It's been really weird. If you were wondering and maybe you were a little bit worried as a Bears fan going, hey, is their backup quarterback healthy? He's expected to be available, Malik Willis, and we know that Jordan Love got knocked out of the last game they played, and the Bears struggled a little bit with some of the zone read concepts that the Packers can play with Malik Willis. So he, even though he's been dealing with that shoulder injury, he should be available to back up Jordan Love on Saturday night.
I think that that would be very, very good if they end up seeing Malik Willis. You know, I wouldn't mind it.
It could be if DA learns from the mistake of you better have your Malik Willis game plan ready.
Yeah, what would be better is if Caleb goes ahead and puts up 35.
There it is.
Caleb in the offense. And Ben Johnson,
DeAndre Swift,
says it's a good problem now for Caleb Williams to have so many guys he can target because Roma Dunze is back.
That's every week. That's what we do every single week. And that's why that trust level between the players, you know, with Caleb, that's why the trust level with the coaches within the players, that's what we're building to all year long. We see it during practice. We see how these guys go about their business. When the stakes are high like this and the margin for error is very small, you want to lean on those that you can trust the most. That's what I've learned over my time, and we'll do that here going forward.
Speaking of trust level, where's your trust in Colson right now? Is that kind of a reliable target in this offense?
He's come, you know, he's shown up, and he's made big plays for us. You know, I think the last few fourth downs, the ball seems to find its way to him. I think that's certainly a credit to him. The quarterback certainly trusts him, but I think that probably sheds a lot of light in terms of how vital he is towards our operation. We ask him to wear a lot of hats in terms of knowing the game plan, a lot of different positions, a lot of different responsibilities, run game, pass protection, and I think he's still learning and he's growing, and really excited not only to see him compete over the next few weeks, but also his future.
I know you don't want it to have to come down to Rick needing to rally at the end of the game, but given what Caleb has done and been at his best in those situations, how reassuring is that to you to have a guy like that?
Yeah, we're never out. Our guys know that, and I think to your point, we certainly don't want to have to lean into that each and every week. You know, we'd like to start off a little bit faster and make it more of a complete game for 60 minutes. But just the fact that I think teams understand when they play us now that they have to earn it. they got to really close us out if they want to get the victory, because we can score points in bunches. We can do it in a short amount of time, and I think we've proven that.
As you've tried to problem solve the slow starts, what has worked this year and what has not been effective?
I don't know that there's a right answer for that. There's a process I believe in terms of how we prepare these guys. I think we got a lot of great professionals, and I think anytime you bring attention to something that they look to fix it, and that's what we're doing here this week.
Have you dealt with the frustration of some of that when you designed these first 10 to 15 plays, however many it is, and drilled those over and over, and then it doesn't look right come game day?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of alluded to you before, anytime we take the field on offense and we don't end up with points, then yeah, I'm disappointed. All of our guys are disappointed. So you find out what happened, what went wrong, and you look to make those corrections and put it past you. So that's how I deal with it.
Colston Loveland, the last 2 weeks, 13 targets, and the week before, 10 targets. Colston Loveland is the number one target on this team the last 2 weeks by a mile.
That's true, but the other tight end came up with a huge play for the Bears on Sunday, and luckily, because he got rocked on that touchdown catch, no issues. He was full go, wasn't even on the injury report for the Bears, and he's going to talk with the Take the North podcast coming up at 6:25. TTN. Here's what Cole Kmet had to say about the things that make his quarterback special in late game situations.
Yeah, I think that's just something that he's had and he's kind of just been born with. I don't know if that's something he's had just, you know, since he's been playing football and playing sports in general, but you know, I felt that last year too, and I know results weren't great last year, but there was countless times where he drove us down the field at the end of the game to either put us position to win, tie, or go ahead. And but you know, this year obviously that gets highlighted more just because of the winning record and all that stuff. But he's just got great poise out there, and he remains the same. And I think he understands, especially this year when he has to go make a play and when it's needed. And I think we've seen that come up time and time again.
How what about a good, better, best chance embodied what this team stands for and impacted what you guys have been able to do this year?
Yeah, I think despite the result, you know, we come in Monday, Tuesday, whatever it be, and we're looking to get better. And I think that's kind of the mantra of that whole deal. And the guys have really embodied that. You know, I think we have all been able to put our egos aside come Monday morning or Tuesday and be able to look at the film with a critical eye and get better from it.
What about this team or this offense has allowed so many different guys to step up in those critical moments, whether it's Colston the other night or Jade when his opportunity came?
I think this is what Ben and our coaching staff do such a good job of putting guys in the right spots. I think we're all put in situations where we can really succeed, and I know the coaches really think that through when they put together the game plan, and so when those moments come up, guys are able to excel, and I think we've seen that time and time again with a bunch of different guys in a bunch of different spots.
We were here the last time this organization had a playoff game on a very different kind of season, different atmosphere with COVID. What do you remember about that day in New Orleans?
Man. Well, I remember it being weird. You know, as a rookie, you just kind of, you don't really know this from that, and you know, you're 8-8, and there felt like a lot of negative sentiment around the team at the time, even though we were going to the playoffs, and it almost felt like, oh man, you know, you go at 8-8, and it feels like this. Like, surely getting in is not an issue. And sure enough, you know, 5 years later, you're going back for the second time. So I think I just look back on it, and you realize, first of all, you never take a playoff for granted, and you know, maybe I did a little bit at the time, and just based on the atmosphere of that. But, you know, also that being said, I do feel like this team is way different than that team. And I think that, you know, that team, we had a lot of things going on throughout the year, a lot of changes at some key positions. Where this year, it feels like we're more cemented in who we are and our identity as a team. And I feel like those are things I can carry over, you know, here in January.
That is Cole Kmet at the end there talking about the last time the Bears were in the playoffs, which I think a lot of people just kind of skip over in their brains. You think about 2018 and the double doink. Oh, no. 21-9 loss at New Orleans in 2021, and Cole Kmet was there.
But didn't Mitch win, like, most slimed
player?
It was
the Nickelodeon player of the game, which is usually, like, the person on the losing team who the kids just like the most.
But he had a wacky – wasn't there, like, a wacky touchdown or something?
There was one. So it's funny. As time expired, I went back and watched some of the film on this game. Mitch to Jimmy Graham as the clock expired in that one.
Yeah. So, like, I think, like, that's why Jimmy Graham, a 19-yard touchdown from Mitch at the end. But I love Cole saying, seemed like there were a lot of negative storylines. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, there were. That was Matt Nagy, denouement.
Yeah, current Bear, probably won't see him on Saturday, that played a little bit of a role in that game, remember?
C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, has he got in Javon Wims' face?
And Anthony Miller got ejected, right?
He did.
Very early in that game.
That's right. So, yeah, like, because he got all over Javon. And is that the game where Javon dropped the short touchdown?
Yep.
Yeah. Great memories.
Yeah, we love the playoffs around here.
2-6 all time in the wild card round for the Bears. 12-9 all time in the playoffs at home. 12-9 all time. It's not too bad.
So now we have officially turned the page.
Feels good.
Speaks, remember about an hour and a half ago when we played the Wayne Larrivee sound?
I do, when Wayne Larrivee had the audacity to call out a dagger on another man's radio show.
Well, look, I said it then, and I'll keep saying it. I felt kind of bad for Wayne because it felt like he was being jukeboxed. You know, it's like, hey, Wayne, do the thing that you do.
And then he did it because he was on somebody's radio show.
He was. And it turns out that one of the people involved in that radio show listens to this radio show.
Uh-oh.
And they're fine with it. Like, okay. they were saying how they're the resident, the kind of Bears agitator on that show, and they heard the segment.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's, which guy is that? We know which person is it? He's the one telling him to be careful?
Yes.
Before he actually did it?
That is the person, I believe, who reached out to our show.
Okay.
I think he took down the tweet. I can't find it anymore. Oh, no.
No, I've got it right here.
Oh, okay,
what
good.
Do you got, Alex?
What's his name?
Alex Receipts-Kun here. He's got it.
Ricardo Arguello, I believe.
All
is
right.
His name. Hey, guys.
Shout out to Ricardo.
The clip with Wayne Larrivee is from our online streaming show, Clubhouse Live, out of Appleton. Brett Christofferson is the host, and I am the co-host and resident Bears fan heel.
Sunday morning coming down.
Wayne, let's pretend it's Saturday night. Josh Jacobs plows into the end zone, right?
Easy.
That's the game win. Give us a little example of what that's going to sound like. Can you just give us a little taste of that, Wayne? Come on. Just do it, right?
All right,
Josh
here we
Jacobs,
go.
3-yard touchdown run.
Packers, second and goal at the 3-yard line of Chicago. Here we go. Hand off to Jacobs, and why not? Plows up the middle, carries bodies into the end zone, and there is your dagger.
There you go.
Boo.
Yes.
Boo.
Yes.
Boo.
Speaks, you're about to do an act, and you're about to sing some Springsteen.
Yeah.
Sing. Just sing right now. Sing.
Sing Born to Run.
Go ahead. Just do it.
You sing it. You sing it right now.
You're doing an act.
I'm
not your effing jukebox. That's what I say.
That's a great answer.
I've said it many, many times.
That's what Wayne should have said.
Well, I'm saying.
We got to have Grody's to say what Wayne would have said coming up at 5:45.
All right, good. We're going to crosstalk with the Take the North guys.
Yeah, because they've got a special show tonight. They're going to have Cole Kmet on at 6:25.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be on from 6 until 8, so you'll want to make sure that you check that out. That is Turn the Page. Speaking of Turn the Page and getting ready for this game at Soldier Field, Speegs has a question for you.
I do.
And he would know because he was in this situation a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh, and I wonder what the choice would be now about this game.
We'll share it with you next here on The Score. There I go.
We're really looking forward to an opportunity to go at him again and in front of our home crowd. You know, these guys... You really have felt this city come alive over the course of the season. That's something that I'm grateful for. You know, I'm certainly not downtown a whole lot, but when I'm down there for game day, you know, night before the game, I certainly feel that vibe. And so keep a good thing going.
So I've been thinking a lot about this song and my life soundtrack. Here's what I've come up with, Speegs. I want this playing in my headphones when I'm landing at Midway.
Yeah, it's a good song for that. It's a good song for that. I got a couple others.
And
is this the category?
Well, and then when I get off the plane, when I'm finally back in Chicago proper.
Yeah.
I want No Problem by Chance to be playing in my headset to get my mind like right for being back in the city.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So that's become like part of my Chicago soundtrack. Of when I travel and I get to come back home.
That I love that. There's a couple that I always forget the name of the song, so I have to look for the Liz Phair song on Exile in Guyville. It's called, I believe it's Stratford on Guy. I was flying into Chicago at night, and I think of it every time I'm flying into Chicago at night. And then could be Sufjan Stevens, Chicago, but I'll go Andrew Bird, Pulaski at Night. Which has a beautiful Chicago-centric chorus.
And then when I get back to Hyde Park, I want Southside by Common and Kanye.
There you go.
Blaring in my ear.
There you go. All right, I don't have a third one.
I
just gave you three, actually.
You can cobble together all the things that you want.
Could do all the things.
Could do like Local H. You could throw some Local H in
there.
No,
I'll go Earth, Wind, and Fire from Maurice White. And I'll put in That's the Way of the World, which is maybe the greatest song of all time.
Yes.
You ever hear that one Frank Sinatra song?
The one about New York?
Strangers in the Night? Is that the one you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. That one is pretty good. Here's the question, okay? Football, great on television.
Phenomenal on television.
Exquisite.
Oh, that reminds me. I might have to... There'll be a local broadcast, right?
Like, on Fox.
It'll be on Fox,
100%.
Even though it's the prime.
Yep.
All right, because, you know, I was going to have to walk my dad through that.
Oh, that's the worst.
Your dad's covered.
Your little
good.
Dad.
All right, good.
Yeah, don't worry about that. You're good. So he can watch it there on Fox. So football, wonderful on TV. Last time the Bears were playing the Packers, I was going to the game, remember? And we were out at the broth stop. We were talking about it. I was like, guys, like, am I going to have a good time? Because I don't really like to go to football games. But then I went to that football game instead of watching on TV. And I'm really glad I was there. You guys remember how that one ended? That game on a Saturday night?
It ended epically.
It epically. And now, for decades, people will lie to their friends and family and say that they were there.
There were 250,000 people at that football game.
That's right.
At least.
But you guys know I was actually there.
You were.
So would you go to this game on Saturday night if you had the chance?
Are you setting us up? Like, do you have tickets to this game?
I do not. I do okay. not, and I'm not. I mean, I know somebody who does. Our friend Danny Parkins.
Oh yeah,
is coming back to town for a 24-hour trip to go with his nephew.
Oh, that sounds great.
Right, the two of them are going, sitting not far behind the Bears bench. I'm sure he'll talk about it tomorrow with the midday show on his weekly hit. But I was already thinking about it because of that experience of being there. I mean, I would, if I had the chance, I would absolutely go. And if I hadn't had that experience a few weeks ago, I'd be a quick no. I'd be a quick no because of how great football is on television in the cozy confines of couch. But I'd be a quick yes if given the chance this time around.
Tanny, if you had tickets, would you go?
It's funny because, like, you know, I'm in the trust tree here, I assume. So I didn't watch the fourth quarter of the last game. It was too much for me.
For real?
Yeah, I was so worked up and I was so let down.
It was such a downer.
It was. So, yeah, especially, you know, you were there. You could feel like you were texting the group thread the whole time, like about the energy in the stadium, wow. You know, kind of slowly evaporating, you know. So
did you get back in time to be with Overtime Live?
I checked in right at the start of overtime. It was one of those things where it's like I still had the box score on my phone going. So I could kind of just keep track with it just to make sure. But I was not going to check back in unless they tied it and made it.
So you were like the Bears. Like you were over you were over amped up for the game.
At the beginning.
Definitely. I was jumping on top of piles when that game started, you know. Like DeMarco Jackson.
And then after the game you were celebrating. Remember you telling the thread you were doing some fired up laundry.
Oh yeah. You couldn't, like, I know I've heard a lot of people talk about this. Couldn't go to sleep after that one.
Yes,
you know?
That was you. He's doing laundry.
I was so fired up. I was doing laundry on a Saturday night.
Let's go.
Hey, listening to the post game, watching the clips over and over again.
Over and over.
I mean, that's what we told Spiegs. Like, we were telling Spiegs about how he was going to be too hyped.
And I was. I came home and I watched the game on TV in my bed.
So, like, low-key, like, because the game's on a Saturday, like, I could easily do whatever prep I have to do on Sunday, win or lose. Like, I would like a distraction from the game. Sometimes going to the game is a good distraction,
yeah.
You know, because you're with like-minded people. And for better or for worse, you can kind of share in the emotional anxiety of it all, you know?
Yeah. And Alex, your team go to the game always.
Yeah, always. And I've already looked at prices. And I'm like, ooh, that is out of my price range. But if it drops below a certain point, maybe I'll think about it. I don't know. There's something about we talk about the energy of being at a football game. I think it's the best sport to see live. I know I'm biased. I've been to hundreds, if not thousands, of football games in my life.
That's crazy. It makes me want to pause because I would never have thought so. But now after that experience, it's like there's something about
right.
it.
Right. Like, it's the energy and the adrenaline, but also, like you said, the fact that everybody gets so zoned in on the product on the field and the stakes of this game, there's no question. I would love to go to this football game.
Are you still team home, Lawrence?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I can't divorce myself from all the other stuff. Like, I have to do the pod.
Gotta do
like,
pod. If you could, try to divorce yourself from it. You heard how juiced I was after that experience, man.
Now, the beautiful thing is that I do live close enough that with some of the hacks, I can get home fairly quickly. But getting out of Soldier Field,
oh dude,
it can. And I don't mean getting out of the parking lot. I mean actually getting out of Soldier Field.
I spent 25 of some very amazing minutes waiting to get into the tunnel.
That's the worst part of it.
Oh yeah,
trying to get the traffic after the game is by far the worst part.
Kevin will fix it. Kevin Warren will fix it.
I think I'd still rather watch this game at home. And not that I'm a rooter, but in games where I do root,
yeah,
I need space. I need space to say 4 and 12-letter words.
I need that space to do that. Like, it's,
yeah, but doing it with like-minded people, it's kind of fun. And then you get high fives with strangers, a top five experience in life.
But you can't punch a wall at Soldier Field. You're most likely going to punch a person next to you, and that's assault, brother. But is it really any worse off than when I'm in my office watching the game and I punch the wall and I'm like, oh, I forgot, this is plaster, not drywall. So this hurts a lot
it
more.
It hurts a lot. I wasn't able to punch a hole in it. But yeah, I need the space to kind of let everything breathe and pace and walk around and try to figure some things out. Like, so after a career of going to football games, I am now more comfortable watching the game at home. Like, for example, last night I had a chance to go watch ISU live. I had a chance to go down to Nashville, and I was like, ah. And I'm glad I watched that game at home.
You had a good time watching it at home.
I did not have a good time watching that game.
Well, not the end of it.
Yeah, the end of it was
rough. Not the end of it. Texter asks, who's the broadcast crew for the game on Saturday for both Fox and Prime? Same broadcast.
It's simulcast because the rule in the NFL is that the home market has to have an over-the-air carrier of the game.
So it'll be on regular TV in Green Bay and regular TV in Chicago.
But it's
on
Prime's crew.
But that also means, though, if you do have Prime, then you can watch the next-gen stats Madden view, which is the all-22 view from above and to the back. To the back and above, and you can watch the game that way, if so desired. That's a really high-quality broadcast. Technically,
it looks so good.
You mentioned all the broadcasts fighting about who's going to get what.
Everyone wanted Bears Packers.
This was the number one game.
Every single network wanted Bears Packers. And because the relationship with Prime is growing with the NFL, they were like, you know what? Here's 20 million viewers.
Well, they also had to go backwards and do it because Monday night it was going to be the AFC game. Then they needed to make the other two AFC games on Sunday because they didn't want the disparity in short weeks to affect the next week's playoff slate, which automatically pushed the Bears and the Packers to either Saturday night or Sunday night. And Saturday night is what won out.
Man. You know what? I think you may have made a mistake, Speaks.
What?
The Bears have to win on Saturday for no other reason than you let the world know that Danny was going to be there. And if they lose...
The Danny Mush factor?
The whole world is going to blame Danny Parkins, and that is not fair. People are already doing it on the text line.
Oh.
There are already people that are like, no.
Has he let the world know yet?
Did you see what Nick did to him yesterday?
Oh, dude, I very much did. I told you guys, I talked to Danny because Danny blew the picks. He went 0-6 in the last 2 weeks to lose their pick. So Nick dropped three banners on him yesterday, and they
like actual banners from the ceiling.
Yeah, and
hilarious.
He made him take off the crown that he had from last year and put on a dunce cap instead.
Oh,
they had dunce cap.
A jester's cap. Yeah,
They had dunce cap in the money in the budget. I did. That's why I left.
Well, they said, like, you know, you've been holding on to this for a while. And they're like, no, Nick just bought it just for this occasion to put it on his friend Danny.
So look, I don't usually root, okay? It's not really what I do. I'm not rooting for the Bears because I don't want Danny to feel the wrath of them losing.
That's fun.
I can't have that happen to him. That would be awful.
You just said the same thing awful. About Janet in Milwaukee like 2 hours ago.
Yeah. Well, they both, Lawrence loves them both.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm rooting for the Bears.
Spread love, man.
For all the Janets instead of spreading lies. I agree.
There's a man who understands 80s and 90s R&B. His name is Matt Spiegel. Hey, do you want to talk to the Take the North guys?
Oh, yes, I do, because they got a show coming up at 6 o'clock. Let's do that. That'll be fun.
They're in our office right now. They're in our office sitting in our seats.
Get out of there.
Come and take the North and never give it back, but give our office back. They're next here on The Score.
And the last thing, the most important piece is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
Wayne, let's pretend it's Saturday night. Josh Jacobs plows into the end zone, right?
Easy.
That's the game win. Give us a little example of what that's going to sound like. Can you just give us a little taste of that, Dwayne? Come on. Just do it, right?
All right,
Josh
here we
Jacobs,
go.
3-yard touchdown run.
Packers, second and goal at the 3-yard line of Chicago. Here we go. Hand off to Jacobs, and why not? Plows up the middle, carries bodies into the end zone, and there is your dagger.
There you go. Yes.
Boo.
Yes.
Boo. You boo that man. That's Wayne Larrivee.
The dagger.
Acting like a jukebox. Mark Grody, what should Wayne Larrivee have said when he was asked to give a dagger call for a game that hasn't happened yet?
I'm going to put a dagger in Andrew Billings. Guy's a house. He's so fat.
Remember that?
See, you just did to Grody what that guy did to Wayne Larrivee.
I did.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
But Grody, he's a willing participant in all of these things.
It's only my second show of the day. I mean,
Wayne felt like a hostage situation. Okay, I'll do the thing. Dagger.
We're going to talk to Grody and Dan Weider in a moment. But are you a local business owner or employee? How would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 60 right here on The Score? Here's your chance. We have brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest, where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 60 from Westwood One.
And we always like to point out that in years past, it hasn't been possible. But this year, for now, it is possible. If a team from Chicago happened to be in the Super Bowl, well, your commercial would air during the airing of that game, which would be heard on Westwood One here on The Score.
It seems like a big deal. Fair. And new this year, you can win a live broadcast for your brand. Here's what you do. Log on to 670thescore.com/contests to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter is January 18th. Score big for your business is sponsored by People's Bank, where better banking keeps moving forward. Member FDIC.
Look at these guys. The Take the North podcast is here, and how aptly named is it? Because the Bears have now officially taken the North, and they'll hold on to it for at least another 12 months, and then we'll find out if they're going to give it back. The Take the North podcast. Look at these guys. They are here. Dan Weiderer, Mark Grody. Groats is back for his second show today. They're going until 8 o'clock. What's up, boys?
Yeah, don't give it back again. They gave it back in 2018. They gave it back in 2006. They gave it back in 2001. Dan, no more giving it back.
No. And just keep this ride rolling this month as long as possible as well. I think that's what was sort of the message today, where you feel like a team that arrived with an understanding of the opportunity that they've earned for themselves. And, man, like, I think everyone in the city understands not to take this for granted, right?
So double duty, were you up there today?
Yes.
That's awesome. Okay, so you guys are going to be must-listen for the next 2 hours because several players spoke, including Caleb, and obviously Ben spoke, and there's crazy injury news and possibilities. I mean, it's a kind of a wacky day, really.
It's a wacky day inside of a wacky week, inside of a wacky season. I mean, Grody and I were talking about how wacky this season has been and the number of games where the final snap of the football game was edge of your seat, game deciding, result defining moment. There were 8 of those this year out of 17.
What do you guys make of the fact that Braxton Jones's window is open and he would have been a full participant today in practice?
I immediately thought about Ozzie Trapillo, to tell you the truth, because he missed the game with the knee injury, and Theo Benedet stepped in and made me think, wow, they need that depth right now, right here and now, at the left tackle spot. It also made me go back to something that came out of Hallis Hall today, and that is that Ben Johnson saying, we're going to go all out for this game, and we'll worry about the future when the time comes. Him saying that is him saying, and we talked about cross-check this with Patrick Manley today. He is saying everybody must play, or you got to do what you got to do to get out there. That's part of
it,
too.
Is that of Kyler Gordon's name in the context?
100%. Yes. And there's zero harm in opening the window for any of these guys, and then you see what it's like. Braxton Jones, he's been out there on the practice field, you know, getting some work in after over the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like something where it's, oh, this is just gamesmanship. You've seen him with your eyes making progress. So we'll see what that means.
Have you guys seen Kyler Gordon in the last couple of weeks?
Not on the field, but in the locker room. Yeah.
He gave, as he was leaving the locker room on Sunday, I did a hello to him, and then as he walked past me, I go, will we see you on the field against the Packers? And he just smiled. I have no idea how to interpret that at this point, because sometimes he'll give me something, sometimes he's messing with me. So I don't know. He gave me the smile.
What are you guys doing for the next 2 hours?
Here's what it is. We're going to have Cole Kmet on tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
I love it.
I mean, it's just perfect because he knows the history of the Packers and the Bears and all the stuff with Cole Kmet. 6:25 is when the Bears tight end will join us. We'll talk to him about where these two teams are at this very moment, not just the Bears, but the Packers who have been struggling. We'll talk about how we got here. We're going to do some three-word reviews, which Dan Wiederer is famous for, if you don't know. And to get the show started, we're going to continue on the path that we just were. The vibe at Halas Hall, those injuries, what it all means, where we are right this second with the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers.
These guys are coming up next. The Take the North podcast live is going to be on until 8 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. These guys have got you locked down.
If you missed anything on our show, use the Odyssey app and rewind. Matt Forte was great. Matt Bowen was great. Turn the Page was fun at 5 o'clock.
It's a beautiful thing to use that function, or if you're watching on YouTube, just swipe across and you can be able to check it out. But I would say do it after 8 o'clock.
We're on Twitch, too, by the way. Like, we're on. We're on. This is full.
It's a full boat show.
Twitch mob doesn't need to log off.
They can stick around.
Thank you for doing so. I hope that you do.
For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show us every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor tomorrow. But don't go anywhere. The Score is live and local. Take the North podcast with Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer is next.
Whatever. It's always, how can I put it? Always annoying to hear from you guys. But, you know, if this makes your day a little bit better, then, you know, I guess that's good for you. I don't know who else it's good for. I doubt it. I know it's not good for me. I doubt it's good for anybody listening. But it's good for you guys. And so, great. I guess you'll just keep doing it whenever you feel like it.